Book of John chapter 4, please. Tonight, the book of John is where we'll be. John chapter 4, just want to bring a thought out tonight. I have some prayer requests here in just a moment, a few announcements. But I started a couple Wednesdays ago just talking about the dangers of a shallow faith. And I'm going to continue that thought tonight. In the area of worship, just asking the Lord to help us not to have a shallow form or shallow channel of worship. We don't want to have a shallow worship before the Lord. And God covered that. Look with me in John chapter 4. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter here because of the sake of time. But you know the context. Jesus has made his way through Samaria and has met the woman at the well, and he's going to witness to her. He's going to be a testimony to her, and we're just going. That's the context we have here. But it's interesting how this conversation takes a sort of an interesting turn. She almost gets religious when she finds out that he is a prophet, or you know, has supernatural powers, and she becomes somewhat religious. But look there, I'm going to start reading in verse number 17. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly." And the woman saith unto him, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet." And then she got religious. She got religious real quick. She said, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." All right, so you got to get the context here. There was a big dispute, if you will, where the proper place to worship was between the Samaritans and the Jews there, and no, it had to be in Jerusalem, and then they had their place in Samaria, and there was that dispute and between them, and she brought that theological discussion up real quick. You may have witnessed that before, if experienced that, and you start talking to somebody about the Lord. They all of a sudden start bringing up controversy. It's almost like to kind of get away from, okay, if you want to talk to somebody about the Lord and about salvation, they'll bring up some crazy controversial thing in the Bible or some things to just sort of sidetrack the conversation. And that's what we have here. She's sort of sidetracking. Well, let's don't talk about these husbands of mine, okay? I mean, let's talk about, what about this thing of worship, you know? I mean, seriously. You guys say we have to worship in Jerusalem, but we're going to worship here. And the Lord's going to pick up on that. The Lord Jesus is going to pick right up on that. Look what he says here. He says, and there in we see verse number 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this portion of Scripture tonight as we look at the area of worship and how you view worship. And Lord, in this context of this woman here that you witnessed to and were seeking to show your love to and explaining what worship truly is. And Lord, I pray even tonight here that we would understand better what it is to worship our Lord and our God. Father, we commit this Bible study and prayer time that will follow to you tonight. Would you meet with us? Would you strengthen us and guide us? And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We see here this truth of worship being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman who was indeed touched and by the power of God there at that specific place and time when she realized that he was had supernatural power, and knew exactly what was in her life, a man she had never met before, never seen before. And here, you know how many men I've been with, and you know my current status. Whoa. She knew what was going on, but Jesus is going to step out to her and seek to be a testimony of his power to her about this area of worship. And we see that the Lord Jesus says, "Hey, look, you're at a time. You're at this good news here. I like what he says here. It's an encouragement to me. But what he says here." And verse 20, our fathers worship in this mountain. And then verse 21, he's almost as if she's not going to have a chance to worship, but that's not true. Verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And I guess tonight, we'll just talk about this just a little bit. Who are the true worshipers? Who are they? Well, with the little verse here that we see a lot what the Bible says about who the true worshipers are. Just these two verses tells us a whole lot about that. You know, we confuse this thing of worship a whole lot. I believe we do as God's people. We confuse it. We sometimes get stuck in our own ways and our own thoughts, but you know, there are some areas that I believe that are sides of the road, if you will, ditches on both sides of the road. And a few of them, I believe, that are not considered the worship Jesus is talking about. I'd like just to mention a few of them. One is the idea of formalism or ritualism. That is not worship. Okay, because we're going to see what worship isn't, but I'm going to explain what I believe worship is here in just a minute. But I don't believe it's formalism or ritualism. This is that crowd, I believe, that you get around them, even in a worship service of praising God, and you look out among the congregation, or being around the people, and there's no life. There's only form. Perhaps have the songs memorized, or they got, of course, maybe have them right up in front of them. They may even have them up on the screen, whatever. But they're just words, and they're just going through the motions. It's a form of worship. And they have that part down, but there's an emptiness, and we'll talk about that. That's the part of the Spirit that is so important to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a formalism and a ritualism, and sometimes we say that has to be worship. It's got to be in the form. It's got to be in the rituals. That is worship, but Jesus says otherwise. Another one I believe that we see sometimes is the idea of worship. Was said by a man by the name of Schaff, was intellectualism. The idea of, well, if we can just talk about all the intellect things of the Bible, and we can expound in the deep things of God and all of these things, and boy, you've got all these theologies that they're always talking about and even debating about. And you know what that does? It gives you a head knowledge, as Paul would say. He warned the Corinthians about it. He's like, there's a knowledge that puffeth up. It puffs one up. Maybe it's appealing to the flesh, and they get into that. Well, it's all about the intellectualism of worship, and I don't believe that's it. But then there's the emotionalism, or a fanatical spiritualism. Now, the first one I mentioned, the formalism, those are the type of people that you look at them when they're worshiping God and it looks like somebody told them they could never eat chocolate again. That's bad, isn't it? That's a crowd that you just said, hey, listen, no more chocolate for the rest of your life, and they're worshiping and that's the way they look. That'd be bad news, wouldn't it? But we see, but this third crowd that I just mentioned, this emotionalism, this fanatic spiritualism, those are the people that, quite frankly, their problem is not that they said they couldn't have chocolate anymore. They've had way too much chocolate. Way too much. And just a little too active. And they put all into the, it almost, their worship almost becomes a performance. And man, they can move the crowds and with great emotion. And man, you would think that the worship leader is a celebrity. And boy, there's just life there. And man, there's just a movement of emotion across the worship service. But my friends, that is not true worship. You see, there's two ends of the spectrum. There's a ditch on both sides of the roads, and God wants us to be in the middle. He wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. This idea of worshiping in the spirit, I believe, primarily and first of all, means that we worship God being in the spirit, that we are truly born again by the spirit. No person can worship God properly unless they've been born again. We know that. Now, worship is foolishness to the natural man. True worship is. But it's first of all, this worshiping God and spirit is first of all being born of His Spirit. You are being led by God's Spirit in the worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. But I also believe it carries several aspects here that I'd like to think about with you and for you to think with me. When you think of this thing of worshiping in spirit, well, one of the things I do believe that it's speaking of is that there's a reality there of Almighty God. The idea of being in spirit, worshiping in spirit, you are aware of Almighty God in His presence. Because folks, when we step into any place of worship, whether it be this room or whether it be out in that parking lot, and we engage of worship of the Almighty, hey, I'm telling you right now, what matters to Him is that we are coming to Him led by God's Spirit, and we are simply aware that He is listening to us. He is engaged. He is, I believe, encouraged, if you will. He really is. Because I believe if God can be grieved, I believe He can be encouraged. God can be grieved, but God can be encouraged. And I believe God is encouraged when His people worship in spirit. They are aware in the reality of Almighty God, but also there in this idea of spirit, the Greek word is pneuma, where we get our word air, pneumatic tools, air tools. That word air kind of gives the idea of there's life. There's breath. And I believe in the worship of Almighty God, I believe there should be some life. And again, there's an extreme on one side, but I tell you what, we have to be careful and guard against a formalism or a fanatic emotionalism. And we just say, God, please let us worship in spirit and in truth. And so this idea of spirit just being moved, but being engaged. You know, I'll be honest with you, as your pastor, I'm not out. I don't have a grade sheet and different things, the crazy things like that. But just because I am looking at you during the worship services, I do. I evaluate you. And I don't go home and think to myself, well, whoa, did you see so-and-so in my mind or thinking about so-and-so? No. But I'm just saying in general, during our worship service, I'll be looking out, just like I'm looking at them four boys back there smiling. I know they're having a good time. You see, I'm viewing your faces. And one of the things that I believe that as I look out, and your encouragement to me, when I see people out there worshiping the Lord and they are engaged, they are in tune with the reality that they are praising Almighty God. And I realize there are exceptions. I'm not up here suggesting that they're not exceptions, that there's been a bad day. You come in, you're dead dog tired, you didn't get any sleep the night before. And of course, there's those situations where you're not going to really be that engaged because of the things that happened that day. And that does happen. That's life. But I'm talking about a general rule here, folks, that when we come into the house of God, we shouldn't be moping. We shouldn't be mad because someone told us we couldn't ever eat chocolate again. We should come in looking to the Lord. And I'll tell you one thing, I'll tell you this. That's why I am not opposed to putting the words of our hymns up on these screens. I'm not opposed to that, and let me tell you why. I'm for the hymn book. I'm not getting rid of the hymn book. We'll keep the hymn book because some people prefer notation, and I think that's great. But I tell you one thing I've noticed in my observation, even with our older generation, in fact, I've had some older folks tell me, and even the younger ones, just the younger ones and the older ones saying, "Preacher, we sure do like the words up on the screen." I don't know all the reasons why for the younger people, but the older people say, "Because we can see them." But you know, one of the things is that when you, one of the things I noticed about that I've seen with words up on the screen at times, you know what I've noticed? I've noticed people are reading those words and they're engaged. Now, I know you can do the same thing with a hymn book, and I believe you should. I believe it's a practice both ways. But our purpose is not formalism. Our purpose is not ritualism. Our purpose is not traditionalism. Our purpose is to come and worship in spirit and in truth. And if it means that somebody worships more in the spirit, if they can look at some words on a screen, I want to give them that option. Amen? Because we have both options. We can look in our books or we could look up there. Because what is the purpose? Is the purpose is no, we just stay with a book, with a physical book. Is that the purpose? No, my friend, that's the letter of the law and that is not the spirit of the law. We are here to worship in spirit and in truth. And the goal before Almighty God is that His children are just simply engaged. That's the main thing. And so as we come together in worship, our main purpose is to try to facilitate everyone in a way that we all can be engaged in the presence and the power and the worship of Almighty God. That is what, in the Spirit, I believe God is referring to. I believe it also refers that there is a realness there. As we move to the what's in truth, and that really speaks to me. I'll be honest with you. I'll be up here many times, and I will catch myself. We'll be singing a hymn, and boy, I catch myself just lipping the words. You've been there, and you got to kind of wake yourself up. Like, oh man, what was I just doing? I was just thinking about what Joanna's got for lunch today. What am I doing? We're like that, aren't we? We get distracted. But what God wants us to do when we are singing these precious words and when we're singing them out to the Lord, He wants them to be real. He wants there to be life. He wants there to be a reality that we, if it was just me and God in His presence. That's why, and by the way, it's interesting. I don't have time to go into this, but you know, another thing that Jesus was teaching this lady is that, look, we don't have to be in Jerusalem anymore to worship. You can worship Him right here at this well. Do you know we can worship God the same exact way and God be just as pleased if we were out there in that parking lot worshiping God? It's not the place. It's not the place. It's the position of the heart towards a holy and righteous God. And we must realize the difference. Now, don't get me wrong. Anywhere you are worshiping, hey, that place is hallowed ground. There should be reverence in our place of worship, whether it be in this building or that parking lot. But it's not the place that God is concerned about. He's concerned about the spirit of our hearts. Are we led and filled with the Holy Ghost when we come before Him? Or is it like, oh, here we go again? But the Lord wants us to be engaged in spirit and then in truth. What is He talking about in truth? Well, I think several things here. One is the very fact that I believe that we need to be true. That means that when I'm singing, as I mentioned earlier, when I'm singing out of that hymn book or wherever, if I'm singing, we got something projected up here on the wall. I want to mean it. You know, for instance, let's just say God is the song, God is so good. Something like that. I want to be truthful about that. I don't want to sit there and lie with my words. God, you're so good when I have bitterness in my heart. I want to be truthful. And when I believe when Jesus says we'll worship Him in spirit and in truth, I believe it's somebody that is singing and they mean every word of it. I also believe this. When we worship in truth, we worship based on this blessed book. The truth of God's holy word. The truth that we're being sincere and truthful in our worship by believing exactly what we're saying, but also it's just simply making sure that our worship and all of our worship is based upon this blessed book. We are not trying to deviate at all from the Word of God. Jesus tells us very clearly here that worship is to be based upon this precious book, the Word of God. You know, we could go a lot of different ways here tonight. But I believe that many times, my dear friends, if we're not careful, our faith will be so shallow. And one of those areas that I've noticed, and maybe you have too, one of the first areas that our shallow faith shows is the shallowness of our worship. We're just going through the motions. We're just not really real. It's not life. That's an indication of a shallow faith. And we don't want that here in this church. And by God's grace, Brother Mike and I and others that help lead in worship, our choir, those instrumentalists, as they lead our services in worship, and as our congregation sings, I pray that it would be a worship that is in spirit and in truth. Let's pray.